I'm going to start with a song. Actually, I'm going to ask you after the song is done if anybody can tell me who the artist is. I don't think many of you can. But it kind of has something to do with the message today. So listen to this song as it plays. You could listen to the rest of it, but you kind of get the idea. Anybody know who the artist is? Oh, man. You guys surprised me. That's an old song, isn't it? Is that old?
Yeah.
It's kind of old, yeah. One of my favorite groups, though, Everybody Duck. So if you want to... What's so funny? Oh, man. I guess the joke's on me. Doris put it on there, okay. All right, well, so you know. How many would have known who that was? Doris, okay, like I thought. Yeah, the song kind of captures, sometimes it's exaggerated, and that group kind of likes to exaggerate things, but they do that to kind of make a point. Sometimes that's how we sound in life. And we're going to look at a story today that, from the way I read it, the guy sounded a little bit this way. You could read it several different ways, but this is kind of how I read the story. The question that I want us to look at today in this story is, do you want to be well? Do you want to get well? It's a story of the invalid. You'll find it in John chapter 5. And that's the question I want to think about. It's a very direct question from Jesus to this man. Do you want to get well? This is our third study in the Gospel of John, and I'm calling these encounters with Jesus. We're looking at different people who encountered Jesus and what their experience was. We looked at Nicodemus a couple weeks ago, who was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he found out that even though he had strict observance of the law, that unless he believed in Jesus and was born again, he would not belong to the kingdom of God. Big surprise to Nicodemus. Last week we looked at the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman of questionable character who Jesus reached out to, showed his love to, and we see her and many others in that area turning to believe in Jesus during that time. Well, today we're going to look at the invalid. And like I said, his story we'll find here in John chapter 5. Let's read the first 7 verses. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I'm going to stop there for the moment. Jesus is back in Jerusalem. Last week, he was in Samaria, and he was actually headed up to Galilee. And here we find him going back down to Jerusalem for an unnamed feast. We're not sure which feast it is that he was going, but he went to Jerusalem to go to a feast. I find it interesting that up until 1956, there were modern scholars who discounted this story and said that it really didn't happen because there is no pool of Bethesda. And the reason I say up until 1956 is they found this pool in 1956, excavated it, and if you can see the map there, I don't know if you can see that, it's up in this corner, and here's the sheep gate, like it's described by the sheep gate. So they found this pool, basically just like it's described here in the book of John. So it's interesting to me that this was something that you can go and see today. I don't know if you go to Jerusalem, this is something that you could go and visit and check it out. See the pool of Bethesda, what's being talked about here in John chapter 5. The other interesting thing in here is that some of your Bibles have a verse 4 and others don't. It goes from verse 2, actually verse 3 to verse 5. Interesting point, some ancient manuscripts do not have the text that you find in verse 4. And so there's discussion between scholars about whether it should be included or not. Some of the later translations do not include it because it isn't found in some of the ancient manuscripts. That possibly was a note that was written in by a scribe and carried forward. But it doesn't really change the main point of the story. That verse, if you look at the bottom of your Bible, it probably has it down in the bottom, explains a little bit more about what the people at least thought was happening with this water. I don't know if this happened or not, but they thought that an angel came down and stirred the water, and then they would get in for healing. So that gives a little bit more background to the story, and it maybe explains why they were here and what they were doing here. But the question that I really want to look at is this question of, do you want to get well? And I see this as really an important issue and maybe the heart of what Jesus is asking in this story. And I want you to answer that question for yourself. Maybe you don't think that applies to you. But I think it applies for all of us. Do you want to get well? It's a question I think that Jesus right now is asking each of us. I wonder how you will respond to it. We're going to look at how he responded to it. We need to look at this story on several levels. As we've seen in previous stories, the other two that we looked at, Jesus is often talking about spiritual things, and the people he's talking to are always locked in on just the physical aspect of what he's saying. And I think here again we see him talking not only just about his physical condition, but I think he's talking also about his spiritual condition. Do you want to get well physically? Do you want to be spiritually well? And we'll see that the guy misses the second part. He misses the spiritual connection as well. But I think Jesus is talking about both. And so as we look at this story, I think we need to look at both of those aspects of it. First, if we see at the beginning of this story, we have a group of people described here, a collection of invalids. Disabled people, dysfunctional people, blind, lame, paralyzed people. And I think this is a great description of the human race. And I think we can look at it that way. The human race can be described this way. We are a collection of invalids, disabled people, dysfunctional, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people. It doesn't take long to look at the world and understand the situation that we're in. And maybe it's difficult for some people to recognize that about themselves, but it's an important thing to recognize about ourselves. We are in desperate need of a healer, a master healer. We are in that condition. We're in that position, that state. We've been talking in our class on Isaiah about Jesus being the fulfillment of this prophecy. And I want to read it again from Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is why Jesus came. And yes, he did heal people physically. He did restore sight to the blind. But this passage is talking about a spiritual condition of people. Their spiritual condition. This is what Jesus came to do, is to heal us spiritually. We see Jesus healing people physically, but more important, we see that he offers us spiritual freedom and new birth. Now, the question, Jesus sees this man's situation, and he asks them this question, do you want to get well? Now, does anybody else think that's a little strange to ask somebody who's been an invalid for 38 years? Seems a little odd to me. How would you answer the question if you were sick and somebody asked you that? Do you want to get well? How would you answer that? Anybody? Yes? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think most of us would say, yeah, well, that's what I would answer. Of course, I've been putting up with this for so long. An opportunity to get well, of course, I would say yes. So it seems a bit odd that Jesus is asking him. Maybe it seems like a rhetorical question. But let's look at the guy's answer. I find this even more surprising because he doesn't say yes. I mean, it seems like the obvious answer to me, but this man doesn't reply with a yes exactly. So if we had a big problem, I think we would be saying that. But instead, what does he do? Well, he starts to complain a little bit. And that's kind of how I thought of this song we started with. He says, these people around me are the problem. He said, I could be well if these guys would just help me out. You know? I mean, I try and get down there and somebody else beats me to it, you know? Selfish people around me. And then nobody's around here to help me. Why don't I have anybody to help me into the water? Now, I don't know how many years he's been coming down here to lay in order to try and get into this pool. But he immediately begins to point fingers at other people around him. And you get the idea that he thinks maybe that he's not really even responsible, that it's really other people's problem, that he's in the state that he's in, he's in the condition that he's in. He could be well. He's a victim. Nobody will help me out. He doesn't take responsibility. And in some ways, he also expresses some hopelessness, doesn't he? You know, I mean, I've been this way 38 years. It's not going to happen. Nobody helps me out. I can't get down there. Somebody beats me to the water. I am just stuck in this situation. And so when you think of asking somebody the question, do you want to get well? And they have that kind of mindset, you get a little bit better understanding of how he responds. It's like, I don't even have the opportunity to get well. Why even ask that question? Don't even let me think about it or tempt me with the idea that I could be well. Because I can't do it. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. And so he seems a bit settled in his position. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but maybe even a little content with being in that position. He's learned to cope in some way. This has been his way of life for 38 years. And maybe even the thought of change is a bit scary to him. Like, maybe I have to take responsibility now. I actually need to go out and get a job. I need to do, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was some of what was going through his mind too. But I wonder what our response is to Jesus when he asks us this question. Do you want to get well? And as I talked about at the beginning here, if you look at the type of people who were here laying around this pool, it's a great picture of who we are as a human race. We are a bunch of broken people, but not all of us recognize that. Not everybody recognizes that they need God even, that they need Jesus. And they might be saying, well, you know, I don't really need a doctor. I don't need healing. I've got it together. My life is fine. Yeah, I got a few problems over here. Maybe marital problems. Yeah, I swear occasionally. But, I'm a decent person. I don't really need anybody. And so that might be a response from people. I don't need a doctor. I'm doing fine. In reality, we're one of those people lying by the pool. Maybe you never talk about the real problems in your life. Maybe you don't even face up to them. Maybe you don't even admit them to yourselves, the problems that you really have. And realize that you really need Jesus. And here is Jesus standing here offering his help. How do you respond to that? Well, another type of response to this question, do you want to get well, might be like this man responds, these people around me are just a bunch of bums. You know, my life would be great if it wasn't for these people in my life. Always causing me trouble. You know, I would be growing spiritually if it wasn't for these people around me. Yeah, I would be so much farther along if I didn't have these people next to me, you know, holding me back. If I had a better pastor, man, I would be growing. I'd be going places. Or maybe it's a pastor saying, you know, if I had a better church, we'd be going places. You know, both ways, you know? So maybe we're a little bit like this guy. If I had grown up in a better home situation, maybe I'd have a chance. But, man, I had a bummer of a home situation growing up. It's just ruined my life from here on. My parents were terrible. Or maybe, you know, if I had a better wife or a better husband, a husband who loved me, a wife who, whatever the issue is, I don't know for you. But sometimes we look at other people and we want to put the blame on others. Like, because of those people around me, I can't get to where I need to be. I can't get to where God wants me to be. And so we want to shift responsibility. We want to shift blame. It kind of reminds me of listening to an athlete, asking an athlete, okay, why did you guys lose the game? And I heard some parts of this recently, just this past week. It was very interesting to listen to. But they say, well, you know, the refs were awful. Man, if these refs would just make a good call, we would have won the game. Or maybe, you know, my coach is just terrible. You know, if we just had a better coach, we could pull this together. You know? Or maybe it's my teammates. You know, they're not pulling their part. Or the other team is playing dirty. You know, they're getting away with everything. And they're not, you know. So it kind of reminds me of that. Of just kind of, why didn't you win the game? Well, did it have anything to do with you? Possibly. But we find ourselves in talking like that sometimes to God. And I don't say these things to minimize our problems, because many of us have experienced some very difficult things in life. And I don't make fun of that. We have our own issues that we've struggled through, and we continue to struggle through. But I want you to get the picture of Jesus standing in front of you. And we already sang about this person this morning. Jesus standing in front of you and saying, do you want to get well? And he is offering. And he has all the resources at his disposal to make you well. But we're shifting our focus on other things and other people. It's possible, too, that just like this man is, that we're resigned. And maybe in similar ways to the problems I talked about. You know, the problems I've had in life, I cannot pull out of them. I'm just stuck here. I'm always going to deal with this sin in my life. I'm never going to get through it. I'm never going to overcome it. Or because of whatever situation you're in, you think, I'm never going to be the person that God wants me to be because of whatever situation you're facing. And so we resign to just being in that spot. And maybe not even striving to look at how we could change our situation or how Jesus could change our situation. Do you want to get well? Jesus brings us to a point of decision. He challenges us. In the other two stories we looked at, he always came and he challenged the person. He challenged Nicodemus on Nicodemus' thought that he had it all together, that he was in. He challenged the Samaritan woman about the sin in her life. And he's challenging this man here. Do you really want to get well? And he's standing there. He has the opportunity. This man doesn't know Jesus, though. And that explains part of how he responds. But he's challenging him. Do you really want to get well? He brings us to a point of decision. No matter where we've come from, what our history is, or what has been done to us, Jesus can handle it. The invalid didn't know Jesus, so his response is somewhat understandable. He didn't realize that the one who could heal him was standing right in front of him. He didn't understand that. But what about you? Do you recognize him? Do you really think that he can handle the challenges in your life? Jesus brings us to a point of decision. Let's move on, verses 8 to 13. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fella who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Well, Jesus proceeds to demonstrate what he is capable of. The man had no idea, and Jesus heals the man. And it's interesting to me that the man really didn't do much of anything in this situation. It's a picture of the grace of God, that Jesus heals this man completely. I mean, he just immediately, he could walk. His whatever muscles that he hadn't used for years, they grew back. He could stand up and walk immediately. And Jesus demonstrates what he can do, that he is the healer of all healers. That he can take a person who was an invalid for 38 years and heal him immediately. And once again, I think we need to look at the spiritual side of what is happening, or what can happen, or what Jesus can do in our hearts. However messed up you are, however long you've been messed up, Jesus can transform you. He can make you into a new creation. We talked about that. He can make you born again. What does he tell those of us who have made this decision? He says, "Get up. You're no longer an invalid. Pick up your bed and walk. Get up. It's time to get up and go. Don't walk in darkness anymore. Walk in the light. Don't whine about your situation anymore. You've been changed. You've been set free from the law of sin and death." This man was healed, But he doesn't understand the spiritual healing that Jesus was offering. He doesn't understand it. In fact, he still has no idea who Jesus is. They ask him, "Who is this guy that healed you?" He still doesn't know. And I don't know that it was his fault necessarily. It says Jesus slipped off into the crowd. So this man heals him miraculously. He doesn't know. Makes me think of, how these Jews responded. Now, if you saw a great miracle, what would you do? I mean, it would seem to me that there would be a great cause for celebration, don't you think? I mean, wow, this guy, invalid for 38 years, and all of a sudden he can walk. It's an amazing story. And it makes me think, I'm sure some of you were watching this story this week of these miners. And thinking, you know, these guys, it seemed like a hopeless situation at the beginning, didn't it? Buried under, I think it was a half mile of rock. I can't imagine being in that situation, thinking, what does that feel like to be down there? And they were down there. How many days were they down there? 69 days down in under a half mile of rock. And they're trapped. They have no hope of getting out of there. And somehow these guys figure out how to drill down all the way down there to get these guys out. And I don't know about you, but I was glued to that. For those first few, I got up in the morning and was watching on the internet, watching these guys come up and come out of that that capsule. Just amazing rescue. I can't, you know, what would it be like to be down there and then come up through this tight capsule and come out and be free? I mean, you heard the celebration and the chanting that was going on. This great celebration. And I have to think, well, that would be like this situation, right? I mean, here, the same kind of situation, really. But it didn't happen that way. The Jews didn't even really, they didn't acknowledge that the miracle even happened. They were more concerned that he was carrying this thing he was laying on, this mat. I mean, that's what they were focused on, this little mat, when this great miracle happened. And there could be a whole nother message on that part of the story here, because Jesus is challenging the religious leaders of that time by asking this man to pick up his mat. He knew that this was not allowed, that the Jews had these elaborate laws about what you could do on the Sabbath that they had created. And Jesus knew that this man, I believe, knew as well that he was going to be challenged. So the Jews are wondering, who is this guy? What authority does he have to tell you that you can carry your mat? And I find this to be the sad part of the story. This is the sad part. Let's continue here in verse 14 and 15. It says, "Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." Now, you get the idea that there was more to this conversation than we have recorded here. And we see here clearly that Jesus is calling this man, clearly, not just for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. As he asked him to stop sinning so that he could avoid the judgment, the final judgment, that was going to be much, much worse than any kind of physical problem that the man could have. But it doesn't appear that the man understands what he's talking about. In fact, we don't see that he ever really believes in who Jesus is. And instead, what does he do? He immediately goes away and betrays Jesus to the Jews. He said his name is Jesus. He had to know what was going to happen. He knew that the Jews were not asking, who is this man, because they wanted to follow him. He knew that they were asking because they wanted to nail this guy. Who was this guy that was saying these things, that was overriding the rules that they had put into place? And so he goes back and he betrays Jesus to the Jews. And we're not going to read the rest of the story, but you'll see some of the discussion lower in the passage there. The Jews, instead of marveling at this great miracle, were angry with Jesus for telling this man that he could carry his mat on the Sabbath. It's an amazing and a sad thing, really. Jesus comes with incredible grace and power to all. He even healed a man who, in the end, it looks like, rejects and betrays him. Now, the story last week was very different, wasn't it? The story about the Samaritans, the Samaritan woman. We do see the excitement. We do see the joy. We do see the amazement of not only the woman, but her friends in Samaria. They see who he is. They recognize him for who he is. And many of them believe in him. But in this story here, it's not the case. We see no one really following him as a result of this great miracle of him revealing himself to them. And so for us, I want to come back to the question, do you want to get well? The choice is given to all. If you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that's what he's asking you to do. And I encourage you to do that today. Take his words to heart. The physical things that we experience, the difficulties, yes, they are important. They are difficult. But we need to be much more concerned about spiritual healing, where our hearts are with God. We need a Savior. We need a healer, someone who can set us free, someone who can give us victory. And we need to turn to him, turn away from sin, stop sinning. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, and we need to live in that freedom. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this story. And it's a sad story to me, but it's a story that we see repeated, where people do not turn to you as their healer, the one who can transform their lives. And Lord, I pray that in our own hearts this morning, that we would come to you in honesty where we're at with you. And if we've already chosen to follow you, and maybe we're still in some ways lying beside the pool, even though we've been healed, hung up on things around us, I pray that we would be honest with you in how we would answer this question, do you want to get well? Lord, may we accept your help. We need your help desperately. May we accept it. May we believe that you can handle any situation that we're in, that you are able to take care of the problems in our lives that we face. Not that you remove every problem from us, but that you allow us to carry on through those problems, that you allow us to have victory over the things in our lives, the sin in our lives. So I pray that we would come to you and confess our sin. And that we would reach up and take your hand as the healer who is offering to us a healing that we cannot do ourselves. that's beyond our ability, our capability to do. May we reach up and take your hand. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.